This is episode 37 of Outlander Cast with Mary and Blake.
People disappear all the time. Most are found. Eventually. Disappearances, after all, have explanations. Usually.
Outlander Cast with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Stars. Everyone, I'm your host, Mary Larson.
My name's Blake. And Rhea Yarbrough has literally saved my sanity. Literally.
Not only just once, by now at least 2,000 times, at least. And why is that?
Because any time that Rhea Yarbrough sings, my daughter decides that she no longer wants to cry.
It's magic.
Like, it's like crack for my daughter. We were actually on a vacation, actually before we record this.
Yeah,
we've
just
been
in the car for 5 hours, guys, and the first thing we're doing is we're like, let's go in the studio and do this.
So we just got home about an hour ago, and we listened to the extended version of the Skyboat song. Oh, I don't know,
30,
maybe 35 times in that 5 hour span.
Because my daughter would wake up. She didn't nap the entire way. She's now 8 months. It has been 8 months since the finale of season one, by the way, because for those of you who don't know, Felicity was born on the season finale of Outlander. And that is why I think she is calmed by this song. It was probably one of the first songs she heard outside of the womb.
Right.
As crazy as that is, it's honest to God the truth. Like, I gave birth at 1 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. and then later that night we watched the Outlander finale, and she heard the song a couple of times.
She was the first born youngest Outlander fan there is. I would say so.
Who knows? But nonetheless, Rhea, and we told Rhea this, that she has saved our sanity.
Oh, yeah.
You know, babies, they like certain songs. I mean, all of you who have children can say, oh yeah, this would make my child hopefully stop crying. Mm-hmm. It is the Skyboat song for Felicity.
Yeah, and for those who are curious, Reese, our son Godzilla, he did have a song and soundtrack that he would calm down to, and that was actually the soundtrack to the movie Up, as composed by Michael Giacchino. So, yeah, we're just big soundtrack nerds. We'll put it that way.
I guess so, but I'm cool with it.
Which is exactly why we are so excited to give you this interview with the voice of the Skyboat song and many other songs on the Outlander soundtrack. And you're going to learn a lot of really cool things about Rhea Yarbrough and what she has to say, and in particular what she defines her voice as for the character of Claire. So be sure to be on the lookout for that, and in particular also what the significance of the Skyboat song is to her specifically. I think that was very important as well.
And it's not just us and our baby Felicity.
No, not
at all.
Let's admit it now. It's probably the main thing, obviously. No. I'm sure Rhea would agree with that.
Well, as we get into our interview, first we wanted to remind you and let you know that this episode of Outlander Cast is presented by the Tag You're It Etsy shop. From Outlander-inspired necklaces and rings to custom designs for birthdays or any occasion, every piece is created by Dawn one letter at a time and is one of a kind. So please, please, please take the time to visit Dawn at www.tagyourit.biz. That is B-I-Z. Don't forget to tell her that me and Blake, Mary and Blake, sent you, and use the coupon code OUTLANDERCAST15 for 15% off of your purchase. As always, tag your mama, tag your pet, tag your it, whatever it is. Thank you. Joining us today is Rhea Yarbrough, an actress, musician, and vocalist who's been featured on numerous soundtracks throughout television, including Defiance, Europa Report, Da Vinci's Demons, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Walking Dead, and Battlestar Galactica. But we all know her as the beautiful and sultry voice behind the likes of the Skyboat Song, Dance of the Druids, The Summoning, and many other songs on the Outlander soundtrack. Rhea, thank you so much for joining us here on Outlander Cast today.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's fun. It's my pleasure. Anything to support or indulge in Outlander is my pleasure.
I wanted to know, had you been a fan of the books prior to your involvement?
To be completely honest, I actually was not into the books before the show, but it's funny. I have one of my best friends is really into the books, and she knew about them before I ever did. And when Bear first found out that he was going to be writing the music for the show and that we were both going to be involved with it, I just kind of mentioned it to her one day. I was like, hey, yeah, we're going to be working on the TV show for Outlander. And she pretty much just exploded. She pretty much was like, oh my God, and it was so cool. And I was like, oh, okay, wow, this is a big deal. And she hit us to a lot of stuff we didn't know. So, I'm happy to be a part of it now because, mostly because the entire world of Outlander, and when I say the world, I mean all the people who are involved and who love it, are such a warm clan of people, you know? Everyone I've met who is a fan of Outlander, kind of feels very familial very quickly.
So for those who don't know, obviously Bam McCreary does the soundtrack work for the show. He's the composer. But for those who don't know, what is your relationship with him?
My relationship with him? rated on a scale of 1 to 10?
we all know that's a 10. Come on now.
Yeah. there is this guy that I met in college, and he kept hiring me for stuff. And then I was like, well, you know, we're working together so much, let's just get married. Actually, that's not really how it happened. that's not actually the story. But yes, Bear is my better and sometimes middle of the road half. And he'd say the same about me, I'm sure. And we even made a person together.
Wow, look at you. Amazing. Mm-hmm. being a mom.
Yeah.
I do want to know, yeah, obviously, since he started the work on the show, and I imagine you came along with that work, how did the idea of performing for the show come about between you two? Was that something that was like, oh, I have to have Rhea do this, like this is perfect for her? Or was it something that you said, I need to be a part of this?
Well, let's see. I was sort of, I'm not a part of every show he works on, because he has, a few other things that he scores, and I'm not guaranteed to be the singer on anything. But I'm trying to remember, actually. It's a little bit foggy because at the time I sang the theme to Outlander, I was 8 months pregnant. So I was, you're just in a different world at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember I couldn't even stand while I was recording the theme song. I had to sit down. And so I say it's a duet, me and my daughter sang it together. I'm trying to remember how it came about, because it wasn't always going to be that song. However it came about, it was agreed upon that the Skyboat Song was going to be the one. And it happened to be that I know that song already, because when I was a little girl, I was in a little kid choir. And we sang that song. I was probably 8 years old or something like that. And me and a bunch of my little girlfriends were in this children's choir, and we sang a version of the Skyboat Song. And ever since then, I'm still in touch with these same kids. And this song has been a huge part of our, friendship mythology for all these years. Whenever we get together, we always sing this song, just because we still remember the harmony. And, it was a big bonding moment for all of us when we were tiny little people, and now we're all adults and we still sing the song. So when I was called upon to sing it for the Outlander theme, it was kind of a cool cyclical moment. Just coming back to the song that has meant so much to me over my life, and now I get to sing it for this cool epic story, you know, and to have the song fleshed out in such a lush and emotional way. It's funny that it means a lot to me personally, it's separate from Outlander.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy to do it. When he asked me to sing that song, it was kind of a no-brainer. It's like, I don't even need to look at the lyrics. Like, you know, I already know it. Me and Sonatine sang it together.
I don't know if it's really... You got to not only sing it, of course, you had to change a couple of the lyrics, mm-hmm. but you got to sing it for the first half of the season, and then you got to sing it differently for the second half of the season. How did you make this different? You know, what went through your mind? Of course, this was a familiar song for you, and that just makes it so much cooler, my gosh. But of course, you said, you know, you sang it with your friends, with harmonies. So how did you actually dive into this version, and how did you decide, you know, along with Bear, okay, this is how I want it to be sung? You know, what were you pulling from, especially, you know, when you did make those little changes for the extended version? I just want to know more about your thought process, because it was such a familiar song for you that it must have been really neat for you to be able to say, wow, we get to create, you know, recording of this, and it's such a special song for you.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Skyboat song has kind of gotten heavier for me all through my life, not in a bad way, but in a more emotionally dense way. It's funny how there will be a piece of music that you learn at a young age, and all your life you have it with you, and it becomes magnetic. It starts attracting other meanings and other angles, and you start understanding it in different ways the longer you live with it. So there's actually a lot I'm pulling from when I perform that song. You know, my first impression was, oh, it's a pretty melody. It's very sing-songy. It feels good to sing it. You know, melodic la da 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 da. It is a certain lilt. It's just really, it's a pleasure to sing it. But then, when you move beyond that, when I got older, and especially I saw some of the series before I sang it. I mean, it wasn't completely done, but I was able to see, like, I think I forget what Bear had at that point, but I think I was able to see some of the performance of Claire, like in teeny, teeny little snippets or something. So I sort of understood the feeling of the show and the tone that the actress was taking. And also at that point, I knew the story. Her entire life has fallen away behind her, and she's in an environment that she's completely unaccustomed to. She doesn't know if she's safe. She doesn't know if she's going to die there immediately. She really wants to go home, but then she finds other things that are compelling where she is. And then there's love, and then there's lost love, and there's fear, and there's hate, and there's protectiveness, and there's the identity of womanhood, how that changes between the 1940s and I forget exactly what year she goes back to. Do you remember the exact year?
1743. I got that right off the top of my head. You like that?
Bam. Yeah, I knew. I knew you were going to know. but the identity of what it is to be a woman in both of those times. So she's dealing with, you know, the character is dealing with loss and also rediscovery of the self and identity as a woman, identity as a human, identity as a wife, identity as a lover, identity as an ex-wife, you know, perhaps, identity as someone who is devoted to their husband, identity as someone who is perhaps betraying their husband. There's a lot of complexity in there and a lot of self-discovery. And I wanted to communicate a feeling of her solitude, trying to find solace in herself, but also the sensation that she is on shaky ground at all times. So all of that was going into the way I tried to deliver the song. You know, she asked this question as she's singing about you know, sing me a song of someone who has traveled, someone who is gone, someone who is here. It's a big question mark. Is this person me? You know, like, am I am I the antagonist? Am I the protagonist to myself? You know, like those kinds of questions.
You talked about how much it meant to you to sing the song and to perform it.
Yeah.
And I will.
Well, there was another level for me actually, which I pulled in. I had a friend in high school, a very, very good friend, who unfortunately passed on just a few years ago. And he was, you know, in my core group of high school and post-high school and, you know, early 20s friends, you know, the people who are, you know, family you choose for yourself, you know. And he passed, and it left a big hole in all of our hearts. And his name was Sky. Hmm. So,
wow.
Part of the song, for me personally, was my remembrance and my sort of continual search for him.
Wow. Well, I was going to say something about my family when you were talking about it. My daughter, who is 6 months old, absolutely adores your voice. So whenever she's
Aww.
Crying, I put on the extended Aww. Version of the Skyboat song, and immediately, like within a millisecond, she stops crying and pays attention to everything that you say. So I wanted to let you know how important that song is to us as well, because you basically saved my sanity.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, I wish that worked on my baby. But yeah.
It was a happy accident, and I was very proud. I was very happy to discover that accident.
Oh, that's so good. You know, I used to sing that song when she was littler, like when she was, I guess, maybe pre-walking. You know, that changes their brain. They start walking and suddenly, mm-hmm. you know, oh, I don't have to do anything, you say. You know?
Yep.
Wait a minute. I'm an adult now. But when she was just a little bit smaller, like maybe when she was 11 months or maybe when she was just over one, I could still kind of rock her and hold her on my chest and hum the song to her. And she liked it. Hmm. She liked it a lot. But now I try to sing it to her. She's like, yeah, I've heard that before.
All right, lady, shut up.
All I want is twinkle, twinkle. But when she hears me on a record or on TV, she's kind of like, hey, that's mom. That's mama.
So talk about working with Bear on the soundtrack. What is that back and forth like between you guys? How does it happen? Do you contribute artistically to the work that he creates and vice versa, obviously?
How is it? It depends on how early in the morning. sometimes it was kind of funny on the day when, maybe I shouldn't tell you this. I'll tell you anyway. On the day when I was supposed to record the extended version of the Skyboat song, you know, basically Bear just told me, hey, I need you to come sing something this morning. It's like, oh, all right, sure. So I go outside. I'm kind of, it's like, I think I still had like I have no words now. You know, like my slippers on or something like that. And so, you know, I went over to the studio and, he said, yeah, so I need you to sing the whole long version of the Skyboat song. And I'm standing there and I'm like, you know, really? It's 9 a.m. Really? This is when you need me to come in and sing this very, very important recording. But it ended up being good because I think with art and with performance, sometimes if you have too much time to prep and psych yourself out, then you don't get as raw a performance as you would like to have, you know? So, you know, I just had to kind of jump back into that skin and come back to that same emotional place. And, you know, which really did come pretty easily. And it was fun to rediscover it. And I feel like the take we got was very, ended up being very emotionally honest.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I don't think I just answered the question that you told me. Oh yeah, you were asking me about working with Bear. How is it to work with him? Well, I mean, at this point, we have a lot of shorthand with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like I understand, you know, we kind of understand how to communicate. Like if he wants a different tone quality from me, I will explore different tones. Like I'll explore a thinner tone or a more airy tone, you know, something that sounds thinner or something that sounds more breathy. or if I'm singing low, I prefer to sing low. I think it sounds richer. But you know, or, you know, lots of times he wants me to just hold very, very long notes. And it's like, I'm not a flute. I'm not a violin. But he gets performances out of me, honestly, that very few other people can, just because he demands it. And, you know, he's very demanding. he is. He's very demanding. He requires, you know, 120% from everyone with whom he works. And I think that's why he gets it, honestly. You know, if you're not afraid to ask people to do more than they think they're capable of, then usually people do more than they think they're capable of. And he's gotten some miraculous performances out of me simply by asking me to do it. Simply by, you know, I'll do a tape that I think is wonderful. And I'll say, that's great. Okay, good. We're on the right track now. Let's do another one. On the right track. That was it. He's like, no, I'm not an idiot. And then I get very frustrated and do a couple bad takes because I'm mad. And then, I'll get over it and do a better take than I did before. So it's sort of like that. He's quite the taskmaster, but at the end of the day, it's good. And it's definitely thickens my skin.
What other projects have you two worked on, and can you describe the differences between them?
Oh, I don't even know. There's been so many. I mean, going back to...
Pick your top two.
Yeah, I'll top two. I mean, like I said, we knew each other in college, and he was working on, you know, art films and student films in college, and he would call me to sing on those, you know? He's had me sing in about a million different languages. On Battlestar Galactica alone, I think I sang in 8 different languages, something wow. like that.
Which ones do you remember that stand out to you?
Which ones stand out? You know, probably the one I sang in Armenian, actually, wow. because the text was really beautiful. It was a great union of text and melody on that one. I'm trying to remember. I mean, I can remember the melody. I'm not looking at the words right now. It's been a long time. That was nice. It's a really nice piece. I forgot the title of it. It's been a long time since I sung it. That was probably one of my favorites from Battlestar for sure. I ended up singing in Gaelic, not Gaelic, which I have since learned are two different things. That's tough. That's a tough one because there's a lot of pronunciation, which is unexpected for people who haven't been exposed to that all that much. But it was fun. It was really fun. And I've gotten to do that again on Outlander.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is very fun. But I think that's my mom's favorite one, actually. I think the that spiritual dance around the stone.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about that.
Oh yeah. Huh.
So I was just going to ask about that. Like, how did you learn the words to that song? Like, how did that all go down?
Well, at this point, I'm just kind of ready for whatever Baron throws at me. So it's kind of like, yeah, today we're doing Swahili. I'm like, I'm ready. Let's do it. Let's do this. But there's we have people who speak the language who will, essentially coach me on the correct way of pronouncing it so that everything is legit. Because, you know, whatever language I want to speak, I mean, I'm asked to sing in, I want to honor that language, effectively. I want to honor that language and honor that culture and make sure that I do a good job, you know, both portraying the intent of the song and also the proper sound of the language. When you're singing, you're always going to end up altering some vowels because you end up holding longer notes or it's in a particular place in your register and you have to make the note more thin or more fat or more airy or something just to get the tone across. So that's a consideration. No matter what language you're speaking, you're gonna alter it from the way it sounds as a spoken language. It's always gonna be different. But usually I'll go into the studio and the music is there and the lyrics are there, and I'll listen to, you know, either someone will be there who is a native speaker of the language and will talk about pronunciation, or they might send a recording of someone speaking the text, and I'll just, you know, go over the music with a red pen and sometimes write things out phonetically, just to make sure that I get it right. What's even more important to me, I mean, pronouncing things is very important, but what's more important is that I actually know what the meaning of the song is so that I can communicate that. Because, I mean, intention is the main thing, you know. Intention comes to with the way you use your voice, you know. The literal expression is what comes through when you pronounce the words, but the intention, that's what comes from your heart, and that's what really gets over to people. You know, and I feel like that's my main job, really, is to communicate the story emotionally.
Can you tell me what the recording process is like? You know, when you go in there and okay, what do you do? How do you start the day? What do you do for warm-ups? Like, what's a day in the life of Ray Yarbrough in the studio?
Oh, boy. Well, it depends on what time of day I'm going in. Because there's a few different studios that we work at. I mean, if it's... Sometimes we'll do the home studio, and sometimes there's other studios kind of around Los Angeles. It sort of depends on what needs to be recorded. You know, if Bear himself is recording, you know, accordion or any of the instruments he plays, he'll be at his studio, and I will be at a different one. Or if we're recording, let's see, I'm trying to think, like Eric Rigler, who does the bagpipes, that will not be at home. That will be in a different studio. So it kind of depends on what's needed. And, usually I do not record in the mornings because it's really brutal to try to get, you know, super clear tones in the morning. It's like, you know, singers are like anyone else. You have to wake up and be creaky and cough up a Smurf, and then you're okay. You know, I mean, maybe not a Smurf, maybe just kind of sound like a smoker for a while, even when you're not. Mornings rough. Although I have a living alarm clock now who gets me up at 6 anyway. So yeah, generally I don't sing in the morning. Usually I say, you know, anytime after like 10 is going to be fine. My voice will be awake enough. Singing in the evenings is the best. When there's an evening session, that's just the best. That usually goes well because, you know, I've been using my voice all day. If I get it, I don't always get the chance to warm up, to be honest. It kind of depends on what's being asked of me. If it's going to be something that's very demanding, then I will do, you know, singer warm up. But I don't think I do anything that's out of the ordinary for a professional singer. Pretty normal. I'm trying to make this an interesting story for you.
Well, just know that anyone who isn't a singer,
this is all new, fascinating.
Yeah, this is very new to people.
Oh, is it? Okay.
So don't you worry.
I'm just like, well, I park the car and then I walk to the studio and I open the door. So generally there's like a folder of music, and the folder will say the title of the episode, and I open up the folder. And each cue, that's what a piece of music is called, that's going to be on a TV show or a film, it's called a cue. And it will have a name, such as, Claire and Jamie Make Out, you know, there's a cue. I don't think that was really the name of a cue, but...
That would have been a great one, yeah.
it could have been. Oh, Barry gets super creative, which is with his names of cues. Those are things that... The only people who ever see them are the engineers and like the director, and the musicians, but no one else sees the names of the cues. So there's a lot of stuff I can't repeat that, you know, end up as names of cues. You should ask him when you talk to him again. You should ask him about some names of cues, or maybe I'll find some and let you know. But anyway, so okay, let's say that I'm there to sing Jamie and Claire Make Out. And, I open it and, I don't know what I'm going to see. I look and there's all the little black dots. There they are. And there's, the lyrics. Sometimes there's lyrics and sometimes I'm doing things that are a little bit more instrumental. Like I'm doing oohs and ahs or something like that. Things that are textural that kind of add an ethereal quality You know, I think of my character in the show is that I'm the essence of the magic that moves Claire where she goes. Maybe that's grandiose of myself, but that's kind of what I think. Because I feel like I was voicing the essence of the magic with the stone, and you know, and kind of the her consciousness of where she is, her love, her fear, her wherever.
You need to add that to your IMDb.
Oh yeah. yeah, exactly. I am ethereal Outlander chick. or whatever I just said a second ago. So yeah, sometimes I'm being textural, and that can be either very easy or very hard, because sometimes it means that it's like there'll be I don't know, an 8-bar phrase or something like that, and I have to hold one note through all those 8 bars. And if the tempo is up here, you know, it's like, and then like, you know, I don't really go and then like, I don't know, the whole band kicks in, you know, or something like that. You know, it's like there's a long crescendo. And if the tempo is, can you hear me snapping? If the tempo is up here, that's okay. But sometimes it's here. And then I just have to take a really big breath and hold a note for an incredibly long time. And sometimes Bear will do something cute like, so I need you to hold this very high note for a very long time, but make it breathy. and when it's breathy, that means you're expelling more air. So you have to take more in. It's I don't know if any of this is making sense, but this is just...
No, it does. He's asking you to do some difficult... he's asking you to do some incredibly difficult things. Yeah.
Yes. But I mean, it sounds good. I mean, the overall effect at the end is, you know, it's just a tapestry of story within the music. And it sounds really good. You just have to work very hard for it. So, you know, sometimes it's like I said, backgroundy things. Other times, if it's an actual song, like if it's a melody from Bear that we have added lyrics, well, not we, that Bear has put lyrics to, or if it's a traditional melody that Bear has arranged specifically for the show, then, you know, I just have to learn it on the spot. I just have to read it off the page. You know, if it's a traditional melody, chances are it'll be in 4-4 or 3-4, which is easy to read. But then when you're in Bear McCreary Land, other things happen. Like, it's like, oh, look, a bar of 7-8. Why? We're in Bear McCreary Land. That's why. Because he keeps things interesting. So you really do have to keep your eyes peeled. I'm making it sound like being in the studio is like, with him is like so difficult and intense. It's really not. It's just, it's never dull. It's always interesting, you know? But I mean, I think between the two of us, we like to keep it interesting. We like to give a taste of the familiar, as in traditional, but also, you know, this is not a traditional story. This is a very intricate, you know, time travel story. There's magic and there's intrigue and there's sex and death, you know? And, you know, sex and death sometimes requires a bar of 7-8.
Well, I think it's really interesting how you're talking about how together you push your instrument. People often forget that the voice is an instrument, and you know, sometimes people will say, "Oh, wow, they played the violin in a different way than I've ever seen before." Or maybe they, you know, did some different techniques on their trumpet, whatever. And it just sounds like you're able to work together to create different things that you haven't necessarily done with your own voice, with your own instrument. And it's exciting to hear, because your voice is in your body the entire time. So, it sounds like a really cool process. I think that's really neat that you and your husband get to do that together.
Yeah, it is. It's a thing that I think a lot of couples don't usually hang out and do.
we podcast together. That's what Blake and I get to do. So yeah very different.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's fantastic. That is fantastic.
We call it our date night.
Funny, there was there was one night, there was one night, I think it was like a couple weeks ago, and we hadn't had a date night in forever. And we had, I think we had a recording, it was like a Saturday night or something, and we had to do a session. And so the sitter came over for the little one, and then we left. And I was like, hey, this is the first time we've been out alone in weeks. I was like, is this a date? Are we on a date right now? And so we kind of had a recording session date. And, you know, I think we went out to dinner afterwards to try to make it festive.
So changing gears a little bit, I wanted to know what your response has been to the overwhelming support of the soundtracks lately. Some people are calling it one of the best television scores they have ever heard. And you, my friend, are a huge part of that.
Aw. Well, I agree. I think it is one of the best television scores I've ever heard. I like it a lot. The Outlander support has been just unfathomable. It's been more than I ever expected. I don't think I can express my appreciation enough, actually. It was so evident when I did a show in a couple months ago. It was the first show I'd done since having a baby, and I just needed to get up on stage and just sing, you know, sing my own music and just do my own thing and perform. And I only found out about, I guess, just a few days before the show that there was a huge Outlander contingent that was coming out to see me. And it wasn't, you know, an official Outlander event. It was just me, you know, performing with my band. And I was really, really touched that people who are fans of the show would care to see me do something that actually didn't have that much to do with the show. It was just me singing. And I was moved and so grateful and so enthused. You know, it was a rowdy crowd. I think half of the club was entirely Outlander fans who just came out to have a good time. And they were so supportive, and they were, they were raucous, and they were involved, and they were moved. And when I sang a ballad, you could hear a pin drop, you know? And then I got to hang out with them afterwards, and it was just lovely.
Oh, wow.
And that doesn't happen with all sorts of shows and all sorts of, I guess, fandom. I don't know. I feel like calling it a fandom is reductive. clans, really. You know, clans of friendship. Families who have a similar interest. And, even now, like, people will sometimes tweet at me and say that they're listening to my record in the car. And that's just, you know, that just knocks me out.
So it sounds like you're a fan of obviously the people that come to you, and the people that are listening to you are massive fans of yours. I'm one of them, and this is a very surreal, fun moment to speak with you. But what I want to know is, are you a fan of your own music within Outlander? Are you a fan of the score itself? And if do you have a favorite scored moment from the show?
Oh goodness, yes, I'm a big fan. I have the album in my car right now. And Jonathan is a fan. but she gets to play. I mean, she gets to go in the studio and, like, play with bagpipes and play with the hurdy-gurdy and play with the accordion and stuff.
Wow.
We actually have video, which probably won't be released anytime soon, but maybe. I know it's, they're let Jonathan score a scene from the show. I'm not sure if she absolutely got the gist of how to do that. But it's kind of funny because it's like, you know, you can see on the screen, like, there's, you know, Claire and Jamie, and they're having a serious conversation. And then, you know, I was filming on my iPhone, and I turned the camera, and there's Sonatine looking at the screen and, you know, banging out notes on the piano. she seemed very interested. She seemed very focused. Anyway, sorry, I got off on a tangent. What was I saying? Oh, you're asking favorite moments. Yeah, actually, there's this one cue that comes to mind, but I don't know the name of it. I I did keen on it, but it wasn't one of the ones with lyrics. I was a fan of the way he scored the spanking scene. I thought that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the name of this cue. I'm sorry, I wish I could be more specific with you.
Oh, it's okay. You know, that's the thing. When you listen actually to an entire score, it just becomes one. It just becomes one piece. So I can 100% understand. Oftentimes I'll just have to sing it to Blake. I'll be like, oh, you know this part? Or if I can remember what scene it was from, but it's become its own thing as well. Are you planning on doing any of the singing for season two?
Or at least on screen, mm-hmm. would he be surprised with that?
Oh God, that would be so awesome! Oh, I'd love to just show up and sing. That'd be so cool. Greg, I would love to do that. I'll just put out the "Hey, Ron Moore, remember me?" Let's do this. I intend to sing on season two. So I can't really say anything about it, to be honest.
No problem.
Fair enough.
I've done some singing, but it's neat. It's like until it gets on screen, you don't really know what stage.
Mm-hmm.
But I've done an interesting thing, and hopefully that interesting thing will be on screen. And that's all I can say.
My love, do you have any other questions?
No, that's it. Unless there is anything that you had burning within you that you wanted to make sure the Outlander fandom or as you said, the clan would get to know about you or the music. If there's anything else that you wanted to share.
I guess just another really big heartfelt thank you just for all the encouragement I've gotten and for all the all the love I feel through the internet. And also in person, when people have come out to see me live, it's just been so nice. It's just been so unexpected and so lovely. And I think that's pretty much what I have to say. I'm so looking forward to the next season because it's going to be super fun. And I look forward to singing lots and lots more for you and, if you see Ron Moore, tell him to put me in the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Rhea. Honestly, your voice is a total extra, another character. I wasn't joking. You should have that put in your IMDb. You know, it's very rare, as you were saying, that a vocalist is, people really can pull out that person. Of course, you're throughout the score so frequently, but really people have just love you. And I haven't heard that so frequent about people being able to point out and wanting to support one of the main vocalists from a show's score. So it has been an absolute treat to be able to talk with you. And I know that all of our listeners are really going to enjoy it because you are a huge character in this show, whether you know it or not.
Well, I really appreciate that. It's an honor to be a part of it.
I'm so excited that we were able to talk to her.
I know, me too.
Especially, you know, of course she did this interview and now here we are just finishing things up. And Rhea, honest to God, saved our sanity in so many ways. And what a great dynamic she and Bear have. What a cool thing to this music that we love so much. And it's not just her. It's not just Bear. It's this unique,
great collaboration.
A relationship in so many ways that they get to play out.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I was laughing because, you know, she was so honest about how her relationship with Bear worked as it relates to their collaboration, not only on the Outlander soundtrack, but all the other stuff that they have done together. And I was genuinely surprised to hear about how Outlander fans have followed her throughout her own separate career from Outlander in her own personal endeavors with music. I'm really proud of the Outlander fandom for doing that, by the way. And obviously, as you can tell, she was very thankful for that. I mean, she was very appreciative. Mm-hmm. And she's just cool, man.
She is.
You know, she and Bear might be the coolest couple. Well, beside us, of course. They might be the coolest couple on the planet. Like, I remember when we talked with Bear, I was like, wow. I was just genuinely surprised and impressed by how down to earth he was, mm-hmm. and how generous and with his time he was. And Rhea is the same exact way, if not more.
Yes.
You know, I kind of expected her to, you know, just kind of give these vague answers to us, and, you know, answers that were kind of non-answers.
You're but being stereotypical about vocalists, aren't you?
I was a little bit.
Oh my gosh.
I am a little bit, but you know what?
I am offended for all musicians on your behalf.
But she impressed me so much, and how generous she was with her time. I mean, we went way over what we had actually allotted for Rhea. And I can't believe how amazing she really is.
Well, so here's one thing I want to do to really help get the word out about Rhea. As she said, she was pumped and so thankful to the Outlander community. If you enjoy her music, she is actually really, really active on Facebook. And right now...
And Twitter, too.
Yes, and Twitter. Right now, on January 31st... she only has 996 likes on
really?
Her Facebook page. Yes.
Wow.
So I implore you, Outlander Cast community, go and like her Facebook page, because you are going to see some fun stuff. She puts up videos. And if you just love her voice, mm-hmm. you're going to love to see her more and see the adventures that she goes through. And as I said, she has lots of fun videos on there, too.
I agree.
So head on over. We challenge you, just like we challenged you before. We challenge you now to go and get those numbers up.
Just for Rhea, because she, honest to God, deserves it. If there's anybody else on this planet that is involved with Outlander, I think she deserves it most. I also want to announce one other thing, too, about this interview. You got to listen to it on the podcast, but there's one thing that you did not get to listen to, which are the 10 personal questions that we asked Rhea at the end of our interview. And those 10 personal questions, if you really like her and you really want to get to know more about her very personally, like... you know, her favorite songs, favorite kinds of music, what she reads, stuff like that. You can find all of those questions on the Outlander Cast blog. So go to outlandercast.com, hit the blog button, and you will be able to find the 10 personal questions with Rhea Yarbrough, as asked by myself and my beautiful wife sitting across the way from me. And you know what, honey?
What?
I gotta tell you, I'm really excited about this. I'm excited that Outlander's coming back, and I'm excited that we got a chance to talk to Rhea, and I'm excited about the fact that we listened to the Outlander soundtrack and Rhea's voice
30 times
for nearly, you know what, because we drove 5 hours today.
We drove around Mount Washington. It was a beautiful soundtrack to the White Mountains.
In New Hampshire, that's correct. Yes. So we drove 5 hours today. We drove 4 hours yesterday, so we listened to Rhea's voice for nearly 10 hours because that's what we just did. So I'm excited about this, and I'm ready to give away something. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
All right, I'm ready to give away 4 Outlander Season 1 Volume 2 soundtracks.
Oh, with the extended Skyboat song.
That's correct. And if you get a chance, go to outlandercast.com, check out the blog, and you'll see actually a post that I wrote about the top 10 songs by Bear McCreary, and Rhea's voice is all over my top 10 for Bear McCreary's. But the extended version of the Skyboat song is, in fact, what I think the best song Bear McCreary has ever created. That includes all of his catalog, ranging from BSG all the way to current day Outlander.
Thank God that's the one Felicity likes.
I know, thank God, right?
We love so many of their songs, but as you said, that is your favorite. And it's Felicity's.
That's
Thank
right.
goodness.
I know. So I'm giving away, well, we are giving away 4 soundtracks, and we want to give them away to you. So you will be able to find the giveaway site and what you need to do on the show notes of this episode at outlandercast.com. And I cannot wait to give it away. Mm-hmm. I just can't wait. So the more entries that we get, the happier we'll all be. And then we'll move forward with that.
And a big, big note, if you are on Facebook, just head on over to our Facebook page, search Outlander Cast, mm-hmm. and those of you who like us, and if you don't like us, head on over and find it, because you can actually automatically enter just through the Facebook site itself. So if you're on your phone right now, you can be like, oh, I want to enter for that right now. So head on over to Facebook, Outlander Cast. The giveaway will be also on there.
That's right. My love, are you ready to close out this show?
I am.
Well, ladies and gents, as we close out this super fantastic Emmy Award winning episode of Outlander Cast, I want to let you know that it was presented by Tag Your It Etsy Shop. From Outlander-inspired necklaces and rings to custom designs for birthdays or any occasion, really, every piece is created by Dawn, one letter at a time, and is indeed one of a kind. Please take the time to visit Dawn at www.tagyourit.biz, that is B-I-Z. Tell them Mary and Blake sent you, and use the coupon code OUTLANDERCAST15 for 15% off of your purchase. As always, tag your mama, tag your pet.
Tag your it, whatever it is.
What, you laughing at me?
Yeah.
Why are you laughing at me for?
Tag your pet.
You're too much. Make fun of the way I talk. That's fine.
That's
no problem.
Okay. That's all right. I love you. Okay. So season two is coming. We're all getting really excited.
Yay.
There's tons of news coming out all the time. Brianna was just cast. We're so excited. We want to chat with you. Join us in this conversation on social media, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Everything that we do is under the brand OutlanderCast. And you know how we just talked about Facebook likes?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So we are up to 2,172.
Mm-hmm.
I challenge you guys. I want to take it to 2,500.
Whoa.
Before season two.
That is a huge number.
Hey, you know what? We can do it. We can do it,
so
guys.
So we got to get like... Almost 300 likes
Let's
by April.
It. Please.
We can do that.
We're going to be putting up more giveaways, and you guys need to find out about it. And the only way you're going to really know is if you're on Facebook. So please go on and do that.
Well, if the social media isn't enough for you, you can always reach us on outlandercast@gmail.com.
Head on over to our website, outlandercast.com, for all previous episodes, interviews, our blog. I mean, everything. Everything's there.
And while you're there, there's a little button that says support. And there's a few ways that you can help keep this podcast a free podcast. One of them is going to Patreon and donating a dollar or two per month. Or if you're not into the monthly commitment thing, you can give a one-time payment or donation via PayPal. And while the money is important, I'm not going to lie, it does help keep everything free for you guys. The most important thing that you can do to support OutlanderCast is tell a friend that we exist. Tell a friend that we're awesome and that we're here talking about Outlander and that the show Outlander exists. And if we are good enough and we provide a good enough value for you as it relates to your taking in and consuming the show Outlander, we want people to know that we exist. So please, we all need the promotion. We all need it. It's fantastic. Please, let's do it.
All right, head on over to iTunes if you have iTunes, or Stitcher if you have Stitcher, and leave us a review. Mm-hmm. Write some words down, because not only does it help us, it helps out Outlander in general. We need to, as fans, help promote the show in any way, shape, or form as possible. So any kind of review sites like that, get on it. Get the social media buzz going. But leave a review for us if you can. Just search OutlanderCast in iTunes. Blake and I read them, and it makes us happy.
If you want to consume more Outlander, if OutlanderCast is not enough for you, please go to the OutlanderCast blog. You actually heard me talk about it earlier. We have a ton of writers that are there writing these great articles about Outlander, what it takes, what goes into the show. All of our interviews are there. Even I have written a piece. Mary has written some pieces. The history of the Jacobites and the French. I mean, it just goes on and on. There's a ton of great content at the OutlanderCast blog. Just go to outlandercast.com and hit the little button in the top right-hand corner that says blog.
Until next time, ladies and gents, I'm Mary Larson.
My name's Blake.
And you've been listening to OutlanderCast and the Skyboat Song. This is the 40th time today.
Over and over and over again. It never ends. And you know what? If it's Rhea's voice, I'm happy.
Yeah.
We should change this. We should just put Rhea's voice on it completely all the time.
We'll be talking, and there's just too much talking.
Way too much talking.
Needs to be instrumental.
Well, maybe we should just let her sing, and we just do nothing. How's
Except
that?
For the low string on this harp that keeps being out of tune. It always makes me very upset.
Man, we can't close out a show.
It's okay.
We're delirious. We've been driving 5 hours today.
It's all right. People will forgive us.
Thanks, people. We appreciate you. We love you.
Talk soon. Bye.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.